All right, everybody, it's over. This awful night in Toronto sports is done. The Astros beating the Jays 8-0. You heard that in the Sportsnet radio network. The Timberwolves beating the Raptors 133-85. Wow. And the Tampa Bay Lightning beating Kevin Barker's Toronto Maple Leafs 4-1. Pretty good night for the local squads, Bark.
Yeah, not bad. I mean, that's must watch, right? I mean, every one of them games, boy, you're turning that at halftime, you know, intermission, that thing's over. Boy,
I'll tell you what, man, I swear to God, it seemed tonight, like before the first pitch was thrown, I thought it was 133-0 for the Astros. I mean, this game was over 3 days ago.
Yeah.
There was not a lot going on.
All seriousness.
Not a lot going on.
When's the last time you saw Bo Bichette looking like that in the dugout?
Been a while, man.
Never? I don't know if I've ever seen him look like that.
Been a while. I generally haven't seen him. Body language in general from start to finish was not great tonight for Bo. I haven't seen too many games like that. The numbers to call, as always, folks. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Let's not bother talking about the Raptors or the Leafs. Let's focus on the Blue Jays. Kevin, they're 3-4. My 5-5 road trip looks awfully good right now.
Does it?
They've been outscored 36-22. This is a stat, and we'll get to the pitching. And, you know, we're 7 games in. They've got an off day before they face on the Yankees. So this is a good time, everybody, to kind of take a step back and take stock a little bit and tell us what your initial thoughts are on this Blue Jays team. I have a pretty good idea what they are. But, Kevin, they've played 7 games. They've had 36 at-bats with runners in scoring position. Mm-hmm. Now, I know you went to Virginia Tech. I went to the University of Manitoba, so math isn't a strong suit for us. But through 7 games, that's what, 5 at-bats a game with runners in scoring position?
Not good.
And when you're going to get – when you're in that type of situation, you can't have the at-bats they had tonight. There were three offensive turning points – not turning points, but 3 big offensive opportunities for them tonight.
Yeah, when you're not getting a bunch of chances, the dudes that do come up with runners in scoring position have to have better bats, right? And Kirky in the second inning had one of those. Kevin Kiermaier had one of those in the third inning there. That was the inning when Bo came up first and second and 2 outs, right? And it just looks to me like he is flying open a little bit. Looks maybe like he might be cheating a tick to get the barrel out wherever he wants it to go, right? And it's normally not the way it is. It's a little bit more fluid and, you know, sort of the lower half is taking care of the barrel, and he doesn't really have to worry about, you know, forcing it through the strike zone. And then Vladdy, to me, looks like he's overswinging. I told you this when I was in spring training, I was around the batting cage, how the first thing I'd noticed was, unlike the last couple of years, that I was seeing that he wasn't forcing distance. Like, he wasn't trying to hit the ball 1,000 feet. And now all of a sudden, since the season started, he's trying to force distance again. That just doesn't make a ton of sense, right? Why you just wouldn't stay within yourself. I don't think anybody's asking him to hit a bunch of line drives to right center. But I do think they're asking him to have the direction like he wants the ball to go to right center. There's a big difference. And now just because you're starting to see some righties throw you some changeups, that's totally thrown off your entire opening to your season, just doesn't make a ton of sense to me. So is there some things they need to clean up? Yeah. The question is, if the first 3 or 4 guys, and I'm just not sure how much faith you have in George Springer carrying your team anymore, but if the first 3 or 4 guys aren't getting it done, Jeff, who?
There's nothing who? Happening. There's yeah. nothing happening after that.
Not really, no.
I mean, I haven't even bothered adding up the numbers for Varsho, Kirk, Kiermaier, and IKF. I mean, we talked about it in Blair and Barker. They didn't get any better tonight. What were we saying in Blair and Barker? They were 5-for-50 with 16 strikeouts
coming into the night.
And he did not get a lot better tonight. Although, hey, we did see a hit and run attempt.
They tried.
John Schneider, they tried. Of course, it didn't work. But, they did. I mean, Kevin Kiermaier stole second, so, I mean, they got something out of it. Their first stolen base of the year.
Yeah.
And on a night when Chris Bassitt was I wanted to ask you about Chris Bassett. The last start, you made the last start, you talked about how you thought Bassett was looking for that extra gear. He didn't quite have it yet. What did you see tonight?
Yeah, for me, it was more about the swing counts, right? The quality of the swing counts, like the 0-0 counts, the 1-1 count, the 2-2 count. It's like the home run that Alvarez hit. Like, you know, again, I'm sure Chris knew that Alvarez was 5-for-15 with four big ones coming into tonight, right? So the quality of the swing counts. That means basically either the pitchers on the offense, the next pitch, or the hitters on the offense and not the defense. And that's why you saw before Alvarez hit the home run on the 2-1 pitch, that pitch that, you know, the sinker that was away that he wanted to dot to get ahead, that's the difference between Alvarez stepping across the plate and getting frisky and party out front and trying to get extended, or him on the defense and trying to guess his way through it and just trying to make contact. So, yeah, it's a game of inches, right? I mean, if you don't make the perfect pitch, especially if you're not a hard thrower, right? And so some guys can zone up and eliminate half the plate. This is sort of what takes place. It's just, you can see it, right? You can see the pitchers on the mound knowing that the offense is not having a lot of success right now. And sort of every pitch, you can see Chris out there basically like, nah, I don't want to throw that. Nah, I'm good. I don't do that either. Can go to another one. Like, it's just hard to work through these games when your offense is not really doing anything.
No, and of course, the good news is the Jays have tomorrow off, and they have a three-game series in the Bronx against the Yankees, and Marcus Stroman will be pitching the home opener Friday, and he won't be very motivated for that particular game.
So. No, how about this before we get to the callers?
Yeah.
Before the game started, I think John said that it's not how they drew it up is why Davis Schneider didn't play. Maybe because of the way the offense looks now. Why don't you throw that out the window and play the hot hand? I don't care if Davis Schneider can't hit an elevated fastball. Right now, he looks better than the other guys look.
Yeah.
Put him in the lineup. I think sometimes you got to go outside the box and not always try and predict the future and you know, not script all of these games out 15 games in advance. Maybe look at what's right in front of you, play the hot hand, and see how
Kevin
comes out. I know they're seven games in, but man alive. Like,
Kevin,
every once in a while, take a step back.
You got 135. You got 135 khakis in the office. They got to do something, and you got to listen to them. So,
absolutely,
that's pretty much
obviously
where we are. I mean, listen, I, of course, as soon as the Jays lineup came out and Davis Schneider wasn't in it, you know, social media was aflame. I wasn't surprised, frankly, that he wasn't in the lineup at all. But I'm kind of with you now. It'll be interesting to see if he's in against Stroman. I mean, what do you got to lose? It's not like you are. It's not like Kiermaier and Varsho are making a case right now to stay in the lineup.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Why not let David Schneider have a go? Why not?
Yeah. Why not?
Shlomo and Scarborough, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys, happy new year for me talking to you. It's the new year, but a couple things. First of all, heard Schneider on your show, Coach Schneider on your show. He's sounding a lot like Ross Atkins. Happy for the guy, but this organization does not get it. They do not follow vibe or read the room. What we're seeing now feels a lot like pulling burritos. Just going by the book, having a system before you start the game and not feeling the vibes. Life is about vibes in many ways. It's not just about analytics. If we're going to follow analytics and just think, okay, Davis Schneider can only hit if the pitcher doesn't throw a high heat. Well, if they had a book on Jose Bautista and Eddie before AA brought him in and they were just looking at analytics, they wouldn't have given those guys a leash to grow the way they grew here. We've got to see these guys move and learn from their mistakes. They're repeating their mistakes over and over again. Like today in the game, we saw Bassett pitch to Alvarez with the base open in a one-run game. Despite that, Alvarez was 2-for-2 with the home run. Also, keeping Bassett in for the fifth after he escaped with only two earned runs with 10 base runners through four, it's ridiculous. They have these game plans. They stick to them. All about the process and not enough about reading the vibe. I'd love to hear your perspective on this, especially you, Barker. You came up in a different era.
Yeah. I will let – thanks, Shlomo. Appreciate the call. Yeah. Kev, I'll turn it over to you.
I think everything you said there is fair. Like, again, there's a lot to analytics, and I'm sure a lot of it works, but occasionally when your team looks right now the way it's looked for over a year, Jeff, like it's looked, it looks exactly the same way.
I don't think this is all the product of analytics. This team may just not, it may not.
It's fair too.
It's possible it's not that good. The lineup is not that good.
I really don't want to buy into that yet. Like I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt and just thinking that, you know, some dudes are trying too hard and that maybe the approach that they're simplifying maybe will translate between the lines and you know, somebody will get hot like Vladdy and just stop overthinking it and stop overswinging and, you know, look great. This is what I think. Great hitters don't look like Vladdy as long as Vladdy's look like Vladdy. Did I say that right?
Yeah. I made the comment to you during the game. To me, they looked tired. They looked dead ass. They looked to me like a team you sometimes see in August in the middle of one of those awful road trips. There's just, and when I use the phrase, I mean it. There's not a lot going on out there right now. There's just not a lot going on. And yeah, they haven't faced the worst pitching in the world. But I got news for you. Neither have they faced the best pitching in the world.
Seattle's coming,
and they've got all their guys.
They've got
you know, Castillo, Gilbert, and Kirby. That's who they're bringing to Toronto. So I mean, with all due respect, hey, love Framber Valdez, Christian Javier, love Christian Javier. You know, competitor, all that good stuff, track record, et cetera, et cetera. But I mean, other than Valdez, you really, it's not like you've faced the cream of the crop through seven games. And that would worry me. You didn't get Verlander. You know, Garcia isn't healthy. You didn't get him. You got Zach Eflin in Tampa, but that's not the same Rays staff as you've seen in the past. So that would concern me. Because I don't think you've seen an awful lot of elite pitching so far. But boy, you're sure going to the plate like you're seeing Justin Verlander every night. Guy and Maple, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
You guys think this Varsho hit will make it to the highlight reel tonight? Or
you're a bad man, Guy. You're a bad man. You're in June form already, man. At least somebody is.
Yeah. I can't believe it. You know what? I mean, going into this season, you know, 30 years of nothing since 1994. I think the Mariners are the only team who's done less or accomplished less than the Blue Jays in the American League. If you look at everything statistically, from World Series to World Series appearances, playoff wins, playoff games, the Jays are the second worst in the American League. So they've done nothing for 30 years, essentially. And then you come into this season, never mind all the bad asset management, the poor trades, you see this lineup. It's not seven games, guys. It's 162 plus seven games. This is the same thing that happened last year. And you guys were saying it last year. It's only seven games. It's only 30 games. Maybe this guy will do this. Maybe this guy. They don't hit homers. They don't get extra base hits. They don't run the bases. Yet. They don't steal bases. They hit into more double plays than they have in baseball right now.
I think we're losing you there, Guy.
Yeah. He was on a roll, too. Losing you. Yeah.
But I got his point.
Yeah.
I listened. We had Jim Bowden on Blair and Barker, and he basically spent the entire segment. Now, I'm not saying that everything Jim Bowden says is right. As a matter of fact, there's quite a lot that he says that I don't agree with. But when people around the industry are talking about your lineup and basically saying they don't think you did enough, chances are that they're actually right, that you didn't do enough. And I thought, and I still like this team because of their pitching. Yep. You know, keep in mind that Romano isn't here, Swanson isn't here. I still like this team because of their pitching. But I think I've been pretty clear. I've had concerns about the lineup from the get-go. I had concerns about the lineup last year as well. I was the one that was saying that I thought the lineup last year was full of plan Bs and plan Cs, that clearly there was something they wanted to do in the offseason, and it didn't work out, and they pivoted. And, you know, whatever you want to think of the pivot.
Well, they've had a long time to fix it, Jeff.
Well, they have had a long time to fix it.
Yeah.
And I get it's only seven games, but I also get what Guy said. It's seven. It looks like it's a continuation of last season. Mm-hmm. It really does. You know, it looks like it's a continuation of last season. And That, I think, is really going to – that's really going to rub people the wrong way. That's really going to rub people the wrong way. Because I think if you try to improve a team and it doesn't work out, I think people will give you some rope. I don't think there's a lot of rope with this front office. I really don't. Oh, and by the way, people are looking over the scoreboard and they're seeing what Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is doing, and they're seeing what Teoscar Hernandez is doing.
Man.
And, hey, I'm the guy I put my hand up. When the Moreno and Gurriel deal was made, I saw why the Blue Jays were making it. I kind of got it. Looking back now, it's not going to be a good trade. There's no way that turns into a good trade. It's not going to happen. Teoscar, I think at the time, we both kind of said we understood why it happened because it was pretty clear, I think, that there was some tension between Teoscar and the front office for whatever reason. He wasn't going to sign a contract here. But we also said the same thing. You can't subtract all of that offense and then try to backfill with Brandon Belt and Kevin Kiermaier.
IKF.
This year IKF. You just can't do that.
No. No, you got a bunch of guys in the lineup, 1 through 9, trying to pull everything. Like, yeah, the doing damage part of it, how many guys in that lineup can go the other way with damage? Yeah. Name one. Who? Bo Bichette, I guess, occasionally. Is there anybody else? Turner's not trying to do that. Vladdy, when's the last time you saw Vladdy hit a home run to right field? When's the last time you saw George Springer hit a home run to right field? When's the last time you saw Dalton Varsho? Other than the bloop double that he had tonight, like, that's the thing, right, is if that's working – it looks like everything you're preaching, you know, they can go out and translate that. But, man, when it's not working and they have to do is throw changeups to you, I mean, that's tough to take.
416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, *590. The Blue Jays, 8-0 losers, and I mean losers, tonight to the Houston Astros. The Jays are 3-4 in the first 7 games of this road trip. Have an off day in New York and then a 3-game series against the Yankees. We'll take a break, go back to the phone lines, and wrap it up. It's Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
You know, their pitching is good. You know, I think they're the best ERA, you know, a week in, you know, for their starters right now in the league. But, you know, it's, you know, you don't want to say it's early because every game matters, right? And, you know, you want... It's not for a lack of effort. It's not for a lack of anything. These guys can hit. You know, we have a really talented group. You know, we have all the confidence in the world they're going to hit. And, you know, it's a tough series. So, you know, you don't want to make any knee-jerk reactions. You know, these guys are professionals, and they're going to be ready on Friday.
That was Toronto Blue Jays manager John Schneider. I mean, he's kind of sounded like that 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what else are you going to say? I mean, it is early. It's just that... It seems like it's a continuation of September.
It does.
Guy made the point, I think, and he's right. It seems like it's just this is 2023 continuing.
I do have some good news. I just looked it up. Marcus Stroman does not throw a changeup.
Well, that's good. Although if I'm Marcus Stroman, I might be running out to the bullpen tomorrow and working on one, and seeing if I can get away with it. Yeah, you know, I just might. I might throw in anyhow just for giggles to see what happens. That's a thing, man. I mean, we were talking about this off air. You know, you look at the Boston Red Sox, they've got starting pitchers that aren't throwing 4-seamers anymore. They're throwing breaking stuff and off-speed stuff. They're working down on the zone. And Buck made the point during the telecast. It's a game of adjustments. And teams are, I think you're going to start seeing teams focusing a little more and getting their pitches down. And
That's why the Blue Jays rotation last year was good, because they pitched down. It's a thing, right? It's like the off-speed stuff, and you occasionally throw a fastball up, but it's mainly slow stuff. It's like Javier tonight. He tried to go soft down and elevate the fastball up and up and away.
And let's
he was
be
not
clear.
Good.
He was not good tonight.
No, he was not.
He was not good tonight.
He was not.
At all.
Nope.
Ronel Blanco was good.
Yeah.
Framber Valdez is Framber Valdez. But Christian Javier tonight should have been some good hitting there.
You would think so.
Luke in Oshawa, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Jen, thanks for taking my call. I'm going to start with a little bit of positive. First of all,
losing to the Astros isn't the worst thing in the world. They've run the AL for, what, 10 years now? And secondly, I'm loving watching Justin Turner. He's been a great addition to the lineup. That's a professional hitter that has competitive bat at bats, and I think he's going to rub off on the guys in front of him. But I got to ask, like, why IKF? What possibly led us to jump the shark and add him to the Khaki?
For 2 years.
For two years,
my friend. You've got him for 2 years.
Help. The Yankees are still saying that's one of the worst trades they ever made, adding him.
Yeah. Listen, thanks for the call, Luke. Look, I mean, Kevin, it's – yeah. The Jays needed a third baseman. They obviously didn't want to wait around for Matt Chapman to make up his mind. I think, frankly, they had a pretty good read early in whether or not Chapman was going to come back. And, you know, that was the pivot.
Projections were saying that everybody else offensively that they were counting on should take a step forward this year. That's why they think, okay, we can add a defensive player first who can play multiple positions, and what he gives us offensively is gravy. And now that, you know, it sort of looks the way it looks now, it looks like the worst signing ever.
There's not enough there to make gravy. It's like, you know, when you have that great pot roast and you took the lid off a little too early and all the fat's kind of, you're not getting any gravy with your pot roast.
I was trying to be positive and you just won't let me.
I'm just saying it's like there's no gravy to be had. Look, and we're going to be talking about this all year, I presume. The other thing with IKF is it's a reflection of the fact this team's not in a position where it can trade anybody. You know, the only two guys you'd probably want in this team are Bo and Vladdy. And I guess, you know, Tiedemann and Martinez maybe. Other than that, who you got that you're going to trade for Juan Soto? I'm just asking you. Who you got you're going to trade for Juan Soto? Alec Manoa? No, not going to get it done. You've got a couple of pitchers who are in their 30s on multi-year contracts. Teams aren't beating down the door to add those guys. The Jays have kind of put themselves in this situation.
Yep.
They don't have what it takes to make the type of impactful trade you have to make in order to keep your window of opportunity open. I've said that before, and it's not just a one-year thing. It's something that's gone back for a couple of years. It's the way it is. I want to squeeze in one more call. Dave in Calgary, you've been patient, my friend.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, buddy.
Really?
Nice call. Considering I'm waiting for a snowstorm to roll in for the third time in 3 weeks here in Calgary, it's nice to talk some baseball.
Yeah. Well, at least you got the Flames. Oh, sorry about that.
Please. Yeah, watch out on that one. Hey, guys, listen, I'll qualify my comment with this. I know this is going to put you guys in a tough position with what I'm going to say based on the fact that you're both part of the media now. But what's really, really a struggle for me is that I really, really think that the baseball media around this club gives management and the ball club really an easy ride. You just said about 10 minutes ago that everyone around baseball, and when I listen to people come on the radio station out here, outside of the Toronto market and talk about the Blue Jays, they don't talk about the Blue Jays being a contender. They might talk about their pitching being, you know, around the top two or three in the American League or around the majors, but they sure as heck don't talk about this team really being a legitimate contender. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure, and what's really frustrating is I never, when I read about the Toronto Blue Jays in the Toronto media and I hear people come on from the media in Toronto and talk about this club, it's all the what if, ands, or buts. And if this guy does this and if this guy does that, they're going to be in a playoff spot. I mean, they were the healthiest group in their staff last year as far as pitching. And I mean, to expect that to happen this year again is probably a pipe dream. And secondly, this lineup, everyone said in the offseason, they did nothing. And why the media gives them an easy ride and talks about, well, you know, like even you, Jeff, a couple minutes ago said, well, you know, I'm still optimistic because of the staff. I mean, you still have to score runs.
Yeah, but I am still optimistic because of the pitching staff. It's something that gives me hope. It is. You know, it's a team that went to the playoffs last year with a lineup that wasn't very good. You know, it's a team that plays good defense. Yeah, I mean, the only thing I'll say is I think I'm going to stand up for us here. I think we've been pretty hard on this front office. Like, you know, when I mean, we're the ones that have been saying that we were surprised nobody was fired after the way that season wound down in Seattle. And we weren't talking about Dave Hudgens. So, you know, I'm going to say that in our defense. But the rest of the time, I think, listen, I think people who cover baseball do buy into the whole thing. That's a small sample size. I think people, and it might drive fans nuts, but I think people who've been around the game a long time buy into that. It's something I believe in. I also believe in pitching and defense, but I cannot disagree with you about the lineup. And I think we've been pretty honest about the lineup all along. If Vladdy and Bo aren't hitting, this lineup's not going to be that good.
Yeah, I think Johns came out and said that too, right? And you know, I think on the flip side of all the teams that are sort of bunched together, the Jays are right there in it. I think that's why the people that are around the team are saying first four guys get it going and somebody's a surprise at the back end, they could be better and make a decent run at it.
Hey, let me tell you something to make you all feel better. Let's hear it. Are the first team in modern MLB history, that's since 1901, just after I was born, to be victimized by a no-hitter and a one-hitter within the first seven games of the season. So there you go. The Jays are off to a record-setting start. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Alliston and Bolton. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com. They are Canada's number one rust protection.